Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
The glass is definitely half empty.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. In the stock markets right now, even the optimists are pessimists. Today in Asia, stocks went in the tank. Hong Kong shares were down more than 5%. In Japan, the Nikkei fell 3.5% to its lowest close in 2 years. Everybody's worried about the U.S. economy. One trader in Asia put it this way: American financial mismanagement has brought us to this economic meltdown, and no market is safe from it. The Dow starts the morning at its lowest close in 9 months, 12,501. All 30 of the Dow stocks lost value yesterday for a grand total of 277 points. The NASDAQ dropped 60, that's 2.5%, to 2417. The S&P 500 was also down 2.5%, 35 points to 1380. The race for the Republican nomination is quite a toss-up so far. Three states, three different winners. Mitt Romney won in Michigan yesterday. The Republican National Committee begins its winter meeting today in Washington, and a unified front on the economy might be at the top of the agenda. Only the party doesn't seem very unified. More now from Jeremy Hobson.
Last week, New York Times columnist David Brooks proclaimed supply-side economics had a good run, but continual tax cuts can no longer be the centerpiece of Republican economic policy. Well, that's one view. Stephen Moore, senior economics writer for the Wall Street Journal editorial board, has another.
If they hope to win in 2008, they have to run as a tax cut party.
Moore says merging that message with the now popular change message may mean proposing a flat tax. And he says to capture the all-important middle class vote.
Part of the Republican challenge here is to scare voters about what Democrats would do if they take over all the levers of power.
Well, I think Republicans just need to tell the truth about what the Democrats will do, and the truth is scary enough.
That's former Republican House Speaker Newt Gingrich, who has authored a book called Real Change. He, too, thinks a supply-side model remains the best option for the GOP.
I think you'll find people decide, looking to the future, that maybe they don't want a big government, a big union, big regulation, high-tax future.
On the other hand, a stay-the-course economic platform may prove just as unpopular with voters intent on change. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
An airline merger is almost certainly in the offing. But who? Northwest and Delta have started talking, according to a Minnesota congressman. Jim Oberstar says he met with two Northwest executives yesterday. They told him if Delta tries to merge with United, Northwest will look for another partner. The Transportation Department is trying to do something about airport congestion. This week, it announced a new scheme for the landing fees airports charge the airlines. Those fees were based on the weight of the plane. Now airlines will be charged based on when the flight lands. Nancy Marshall Genzer explains.
The idea is if airlines have to pay more to land during airport rush hours, they'll spread their flights out more evenly.
I'm very skeptical this will work. I believe it will not.
Airline analyst Andrew Watterson of Oliver Wyman says airlines will keep packing flights into morning and evening rush hours because that's when people want to travel. But University of Portland finance professor Richard Gritta says the new policy might ease congestion a little because airlines will pass the higher landing fees on to rush hour passengers. That'll force frugal flyers onto off-peak flights.
And I think people might just say, well, if it's cheaper to fly at this particular time because the fees are lower, I'm going to do it.
But Gritta says this isn't a permanent solution. Ultimately, he says we need to replace our antiquated system of tracking planes by radar with a new satellite-based air traffic control system. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, the world's daily news and information source. Before it's news, it's Reuters. And by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
We're waiting on last year's final numbers, but the U.S. trade deficit with China is going to set a record. It'll be over $250 billion. Commentator Robert Rice says China isn't to blame, and neither is the value of its currency. The blame lies with us.
Don't be surprised if in 2008 Congress threatens China with tariffs unless it does more to raise the value of its currency against the dollar, and thereby, it is assumed, save good American jobs. But the trade deficit numbers are deceptive. Much of what we buy from China today, we used to buy from Japan, South Korea, and Taiwan. But now, parts from these countries go to China for final assembly. And because the goods are exported from China, they're counted as Chinese. Subtract what's merely assembled in China, and more than half of China's trade deficit disappears. China is also sucking in vast quantities of cheap components from places in Southeast Asia where wages are lower than in China: Thailand, the Philippines, Indonesia, Vietnam. So if China's currency rises, and as a result it's more expensive to export stuff from there, where do you suppose both parts and assembly operations will move? To these lower-wage countries. Remember, we're dealing with global companies seeking the lowest costs from anywhere around the world, and they're often headquartered here in the United States. Even if the trade deficit with China narrowed, America's overall trade deficit with Asia could very likely grow. The real problem is that America as a whole is living beyond its means. If anything, China has been an enabler, lending us heaps of money to continue our buying binge, including homes with low-interest mortgages. That binge seems to be coming to a close. If American politicians succeed in forcing China to raise its currency another 10 or 20%, the binge will end faster than you can say the word stagflation. But not all Americans feel they've been living beyond their means, and here's why Congress is feeling pressured to do something about the trade deficit with China. Adjusted for inflation, the median wage is below what it was in 2000. Almost all the benefits of American economic growth have been going to the very top. But China shouldn't be scapegoated for this either.
Robert Reich was Labor Secretary under President Clinton. His new book is called Super Capitalism. If you'd like to share your thoughts with us and with other listeners, check out the Marketplace Confessional at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.